the Ramban, in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemois, says the following. Says, after Torah speaks about Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer Hayetzira, the creation of the world, the creation of every Bria, and the history of the Avos, which is really the creation for their children, Maisa Avosim and Labanim. So after we finished with Sefer Bereishis, with these Ramazim for the future, it started the Sefer Binyan, the Maisim that came from those Ramazim. And Sefer Shemai starts with the Golus that was predicted, that was said B'Nevuah to Avram Avinu in the Brisbane Absarim. That's why it started over again. Ve'le Shemai's B'nei Yisrael HaBon Mitzrayim. It started again. This is the Sefer of Golus. And then the Ramban says something very Yisoidistic. It's a plea, but it turns out to be a very big Yisoid. He says the Golus was not finished until they came to their place, and to the Mila of their fathers they returned. They needed two things: to return to their place, their miyuchadika place, and to the Mila of their fathers. When they left Mitzrayim, even though they were no longer avodim and they were free from the shibud, they were still considered in Galus, because they were in a land which was not theirs and they were wandering in the Midbar. But when they came to Har Sinai and they made the Mishkan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested the Shechinah between them, that's when they turned to the Mila of their fathers. That's when the Shem Elokus that was by the Avos HaKadoshim was within them. Va'oz nechshivu ge'ulim. And that's when they were ge'ulim. And that is why Sefer Shemois ends with the Onon on top of the Mishkan. Then they saw that they reached the Mila of their fathers, just like the Imois had the Onon on their tents. So too the Onon was on the tent of the Mishkan. And the middle, they knew they reached the Mile of the Fathers, and that's when the Geula was finished. Others are Moisif, the Ner Maravi was not extinguished, that was doimed to the Ner, in the tent of the Emois that was never extinguished, the Lechem Apanim never got stale, that was doimed to the Emois where the Lechem was always fresh. And in this Ramban, there seems to be a stira min Eube, because the Ramban says that even when they were out of Mitzrayim, they were not considered Geulim because they were missing two things. They were missing Mekayimim, their place, and they were missing Ma'ilos Avaisa. But after Ma'imon Har Sinai, after they built the Mishkan, they were Chozer Ma'ilos Avaisa. Oh, that's when they were considered Geulim. But they were still missing Eretz Yisrael. So how could the Ramban say Mamish one statement after the other? They were missing two things, but when they returned to Ma'ilos Avosam, that's already, they were considered Geul and L'chayr, they were missing Eretz Yisrael. So my Shver, Rav Moshe Eisman, Shlita, in his Sefer on Chumash, tells us on this, and he brings down a Moridiki aside. I think we might have mentioned it already. The history of the Bnei Yisrael is said in Parshas Hazinu. And it says over there, Zachor Yemoy Soilam, Binu Shnois Dor Vador, Shalom Vichav Yagedcha, Zekeinechav Yain Ruach. In 43 Psukim, the Torah tells us the full history of the Bnei Yisrael, what's going to be, what's going to happen. So, if you can get the whole history into 43 Psukim, you better make sure that every single point in those 43 Psukim is central and it's paramount, it's important, it's Nishayach. One of those Psukim is Bahanchel Elyon Goyim. Ba'afridei b'nei Yodam, Yatziv gvulois amim l'misper b'nei Yisrael. When he gave an inheritance to the Goyim, when the Elyon, when the Supreme Rabbeinu Shloim, gave an inheritance to the Goyim, when he split up b'nei Yodam, he made the borders of nations, 70 nations, connected the count of the b'nei Yisrael. Now why is that such an important Zach, that the 70 nations are connected to 70 Yidden? Like, what is that telling us? That's such a major focal point in the history. So Yisrael says, actually Rav Hutna says this Yisoid. He says that the Torah is telling us over here that history is a battle between two forces, the 70 nations of the world and the 70 Nefarshis of Klal Yisrael. What's the significance of 70 and 70? The nations of the world were all one. But because they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them up. None of those nations is Shalem. It's one little piece of a puzzle. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, whose mission is to serve Hashem, to follow in the Ma'ala of the Ovest, have the Shin Shari B'Saicham, they are 70 all combined in one nation. So whereas the nations of the world are 70 different pieces, a puzzle that's divided, and they're not B'Shleimus, Klal Yisrael has all of its Shleimus in one. Why is that? So it's upgetaiched in this pasuk. Yatze Gvulois Amim. The Amim are totally in a Gvul. A Polak comes from Poland. A Russian is a Russian because he comes from Russia. A Hungarian is Hungarian because he comes from Hungary. He's totally in his land. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, is totally in something else entirely. Ki Chelek Hashem Amai Yaakov Hevel Nachlosei. We're not totally in any borders. We're not totally in any lands. We are totally in our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why right afterwards, it says in the Pasuk says, that Yimtze'ehu Be'eretz Midbar, Be'eretz Yishima, and where did he find us? Not in the land of Eretz Yisrael. We were formed in the Midbar. That's where we became a nation with Matan Torah. We became a nation with Ashros Hashanah B'Seichenu. So here you have, in the history of Nei Shol, Shtel Zavek, this is the aside. We are different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world is totally in borders. They're totally in lands. Our identity is that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that unites us all. It's called Shivim Nefesh. It doesn't say Nefesh, it's Shivim Nefesh. We're all united under one banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Raya is HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't find us in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah was given in the Midbar. He found us in the Midbar when we remained faithful to him. Those are the two marachas, Zelu Umezet. So Memela, that's the pshat over here in the Ramban. L'chad Chila, when they were in the Midbar, before they had the Torah and before they had the Mishkan, they needed taka two things. They needed a land. They were wandering. And they also needed to return to Milas Avaisim. But once they returned to Milas Avaisim, and they had the Shekhinah Shari B'Seichem, and that gave them that shame of Shleimus and that shame of nation, they no longer needed the land. When they didn't have that, then Enochanami, they were displaced people. They were in the Midbar. But once they were Zeichet to Malas Avaisim, and that is the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael, they're a nation without a border. And the interesting thing is Lahalacha. The Pasuk tells us, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, and we conquered Eretz Yisrael, V'ha'aretz lo simacha litzmisus. The land cannot be sold forever. There's a din of Yovel, Favos, Kili Kol Haaretz. The land does not belong to you. In a way, we're like Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi has zero chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Hashem hu nachlosam. They're uptaiches, they're bound to Hashem. So Klal Yisrael are the Levium of the world. Even though we're in a country, it doesn't belong to us. V'haaretz lo simacha litzmisus. Interesting story. I heard a tape of Ramosha Sternbuch. He was interviewed. I think Pesach Kron interviewed Ramosha Sternbuch. It was a fascinating tape because he speaks a perfect English. He's from England. A perfect English, a literary English. Like you don't picture Ramosha Sternbuch, the rabbi of the Eidah Haredes, that he speaks a perfect English. Anyway, so he said that when he was a little boy, Rabbi Chana Wasserman used to come to their home in London. So he was collecting money for his yeshiva. So he had to make an appeal in one of the big shuls there. So Moshe was a boy. He took him around. So he took him to the shul. And on the way there, he tells him, by the way, this shul's a Mizrahi shul. They're very much into Israel and Zionism or whatever. I mean, it was before the state of Israel, but it was, Okay. So Rabbi Chanan gets up. And the first thing he says, really, after Rabbi Chanan, was a kanoi like the Satmar Rebbe, if not more. That was your dua. That was your dua. That Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Baruch Ber, people think it was the Satmar Rebbe only. No. Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Baruch Ber, they were mamish, And Beishtesh, the Chofetz Chaim was like that also. Rabbi Chanan was the extension of the Chofetz Chaim. Anyway, so Rabbi Chanan got up, and he says, the Pasuk says, Hen om levodod yishkain, behold a people that lives in solitude alone, uvagoyim lo yischashav, and it's not counted amongst the goyim. What's the chiluk between an am and a goy? He says a goy is a nation because of the country they come from. Like we said, a Polak is from Poland, an Italian's from Italy, Hungarian's from Hungary, a German's from Germany. Klal Yisrael is an am; they're not a goy. Klal Yisrael is not totally in a land. They're a nation only because they're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hen Om Levodod Yishkoin, they are a nation alone. Uvagoyim Lo Yishashav. And he spoke about this topic. In the very beginning of the drosha, a few people walked out. A little bit later, a few more people walked out. And progressively, towards the end of the drosha, there was nobody there come out. So the appeal for states, it was nothing. So Moshe, afterwards, he asked, like, why does she even do that? He came to make an appeal. You know, so why do you speak about this? He ended up making no money at all. So Chana said, my tafkid in the Bria is not to make money, even for my yeshiva. My tafkid in the Bria is to teach Torah. And Torah means teaching the emes. He mentioned to me that this is a Mizrahi, and have that hashkofe. I had to teach them the emes. Zehu, even if it means I won't make money. Over this yesoid, that we are not totally in a land, we are totally in the fact that we're tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really a yesoid in this Ramban in his Hagdama to Shemais. Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisei Bo. Ve'elu Shemais ben Yisrael Habon Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisei Bo. So the Mefarshim tells us, why did it say Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisei Bo? I mean, like we just mentioned, that this is really the Chumash of the children, right? So why was it important to say Eis Yaakov, Ish Ubeisei Bo? There's different truths I'm given. But I saw a terrorist brought down. Klal Yisrael came to Mitzrayim with the Hashkofes HaChaim of Yaakov Avinu's life. Yaakov Avinu's life was Molei Tzoris. A lot of tzoris. But from each of the tzoris, something good came out of it. It led to Toiv. For example, the Maise, he lived with Lavan. He had to spend time with Lavan. Russia. That's where he built the Yud Bei Shvatim. The Maise of Dina. Right? Terrible tragedy of what happened with Dina. Dina's little girl that she had from Shechem was taken to Mitzrayim. And from that came Ephraim and Menashe. So you got two Shvatim out of that. The Maase of Yosef was a terrible tragedy for Yaakov. What came out of the Maase of Yosef? He paved the way for the Yidden to go down to Mitzrayim. He paved the way for the Hascholos Hagolos, which ended up with the Kiddushim Shemaim, the greatest Kiddushim Shemaim in the history of the world, with the Machis and Kriyas Yamsuf. And Matan Torah came about all because of that. So even though it started out with Tzara, Aber it led to Gevaldig Zach. The Bnei Yisrael came to Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov, with this Hashkofes HaChaim of Yaakov involved, and that's the way they were able to survive the Golos. Well, we have two examples in this week's parasha, very ridiculous examples of something that seemed bad at the time, and it ended up to be the biggest brach. Number one, let's picture Amram and Yocheved. Amram was Geyser, everybody should be Pirish from their wives, and the Seif Dava was, Miriam told them, you know, your Gzeira is worse. And they get together again and had a baby boy, Nismala, called Habayis Eira, Mamish. And Miriam had a Nevuah that this one's going to be the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael, Mamish Givaldi. 3 months later, Yocheved is forced to take her little beautiful baby boy who lit up the household and to put him in a basket, to put him into the river. She doesn't know what the cipher is going to be. What a terrible, terrible tragedy. Terrible tragedy. Mamish, it must have been Sebrachim. What was the Pail Yitzhak happened over here? What was the Pail Yitzhak? As Pari got him, and he ended up in Pari's house. That's also a tragedy. Zokta Ibn Ezra, Mi Yidei Asayit Hashem. Who knows the secrets, the Amkas of Machshav of Hashem? Zokta Ibn Ezra, this was necessary. Hayyais Moshe Rabbeinu would be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. To be the king or the leader of a nation, you have to have shtolz, you have to have pride, you have to know tachsisei melucha, you have to have leadership abilities. If he would have grown up amongst his fellow Yidden, they would sabrach, and even though Shevet Levi, you know, they weren't part of the Shevet Mamish, but he'd be living amongst Yidden that are Meshuvah, that are sabrach, and they're downtrodden, and he also would pick that up. A leader can't have that. A leader has to have shtolz. Second of all, he says, the teva is that when somebody grows up amongst his people, they're not mechabedim. They're hamish with him. He's one of us, you know. Not going to be mechabedim as a leader. But this way he was separate from everybody else, and he grew up in the Beis HaMelech. So there was a certain aura about him. And Ibn Ezra says, take a look at the Torah. Right afterwards goes on and tells us what the Pail Yitzhak is being the Beis Parak. Number one, he went out to see his brothers. He sees a Mitzri hitting a Yid, he killed the Mitzri. You saw he had that shtolz to kill the Mitzri. He gave him Musar. He saw two people fighting. Rosh, Loma, Saka, Reyecha. And then he goes, he runs away to Midian, and he fights against the Royim. These are all examples of the shtolts and the leadership qualities that and the pride that he picked up the base parades. It comes out that while Yocheved was mamish tzibrach, what a tragic event. And it turned out that this gufa was the preparation of the Moshiach Shal Yisrael. That's example number one. Example number two, a Mordek example, is brought down in Eitzer Pnine HaTayra. It's a Gevaldi Gezach. It says, Vatayrat Bas Paroi to be Roichitz Al Yor. So Rashi brings, I'm sorry, Chazal, there's a Machloikis, two Midrashim, why does she go down? One Chazal says she went down, Lirchois Migilulei Beis Oviya. And I believe it's a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it says she had a Tzaras. And she went down to wash herself against Tzaras. So it sounds like a shtickl stira in Midrashim. How do you make these two Midrashim correspond with each other? Secondly, Rashi brings down another Machloikis in Chazal. Vatishlach es Amosa. So Rashi says, Amosa is her maidservant. Or Amosa means her hand. Vinishtarvava, and it stretched out, and she was able to reach the basket. So Zok, does it say for Aryeh Shog? I believe it's by Hagoyin Rav Aryeh Shechter. He was a big darshan in Eretz Yisrael, that it's Tzadik Lebracha, big darshan. He said that these two machloiksim and the two shitas in each one, they're not chaylik, it's elu ve'elu de'rilu kimachayim. Bas Pari had thoughts of leaving her father's house. She had to go and be toivu. But if she would do that, you know, so she'd have to face the wrath of her father. You know, her Mesharsis would know that she's going there to be Toivul, Migulul, Besodia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made her have it so Tzaraas. That's this way she had a pretense to go down and wash herself, to make herself feel good from the Tzaraas. And that way she had an excuse why she was doing it. Number two, Atishlach HaSamasa, she sent her maidservant. But as she was pointing towards the basket, go get that basket, her hand stretched out, and she touched the basket, she was able to draw him in. When she saw this mace, and Vatiftach Vatereyu Esayelu, she saw the Shechina, she was machlit completely, she's being Megayer, and it's fine, Zeu. So if somebody would have seen this scene, if somebody would know what's in her thoughts, she's thinking of being Megayer and leaving Avodah Zarah. And you see, she becomes a mitzayra. She's trying to come close to Hashem. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch was being Makarver. But the Emes is, like the Ibn Ezra says, who knows the sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Adarabba v'adarabba. The fact that she got Tzaraas, that gufa was a way that she was able to be toivu migilulei beis aviyah. What was the pile yaitz of all of this? Number one, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, the minute her hand touched the basket, she was nisrapa from the tzaraas. Number two, she saw the shechina with the yelet, so that was like a greeting to her, welcome to the fold. Number three, she was saved from Akas Bechayris, because the women Bechayrim also died. Bechayris also died. She was a Bechayra, she was saved. Number four, she got to go out of Mitzrayim. She married Kolei Ben Yefuna. Even though Kolei Ben Yefuna was married to Miriam, but the Medrash says the Chazal Darshan that he married her as well. Furthermore, she's one of the people that was never time Tam Misa, and she walked straight into Gan Eden. So it seems like she was a Mitzayra. How can Hashem do this to her? Look at the whole book. And the second she touched the basket, she was Nisrapa from the Tzaraas. The Ra led to Kulei Taif. And that was the whole Hishtalshalus in Mitzrayim. All of the Ra led to Taif.
The tefillah was Shem Geres?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tefillah was Shem Geres.
Without the Eden.
That's Stamakash. I don't know. Well, what was the could be she saw the Miaskite of the. Miaskite of the society in Mitzrayim. It could be that totally. Anyway, so those are just a couple. And that's the Eis Yaakov, the Hashkofas Achayim. Of what Yaakov Avinu went through, and it turned into bracha. Hine am b'nei Yisrael rava otzem imenu hova nischak malay. So Yaakov Kamenetsky is outside on the sefer Emes LeYaakov. He says lechayra, Paroi was not so off base. If you think about it in Seichel, Paro L'Chaira had a valid reason to be Meshavet B'nai Yisrael. The Mitzrayim sold themselves totally to Pari by Yosef. They all became Avodim. Everything that they owned belonged to Pari, to Mitzrayim. And meanwhile, while everybody's Avodim to Pari, there's one nation that's walking around freely. They're free of Avodim. They're free of taxes. They're not Meshuvim. It's not fair. So that could bring out a sinner amongst the citizens. It could bring out a tremendous. Why is there favoritism over here? So the Chaira, and they have these freedoms, they can do whatever they want. Chaira is a tiny abnational rava atzim yimenu. So we always talk a pari wrong. Says Dr. Yankiv, in Seichel could be he was right. But misad the hakoras hatoiv, misad midas, it was midas mishchosas. Because the whole Mitzrayim became a power only because of Yosef. Yosef, he gathered up all the tefuah, he made sure it was done in the most efficient way, and money came in from all over, from all the lands that came to buy the tefuah of Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim became the superpower of the world. With all of the riches, with all the things, everybody was bound down to Mitzrayim. Now they were the central power of the world, only because of Yosef. So Rav Yankiv said, L'chol HaPachas, he should have been Makat Toiv to Shevet Ephraim and Menashe, L'chol HaPachas, over to his nation as well. So even though in Seichel maybe there's a reason to say Paro has something, a Taina, of Mitzar HaKoros HaToiv, there were Midus Mishkosas over there. So Rav Yankiv, Kinire, this is the Shaila that he put forth to his three ministers. It says, Gimel Hoyu Ba'isa Ha'etze. He asked them the Shaila. You know, why should the Jews be different? And there were three reactions. Bilam gave the Eitzah, Ad Rabbah, be Meshabed them and throw them into the Yam. That's the epitome of a lack of Hakoras HaToiv. Eiv was Parav. Yisroi, we find, had in himself the meat of Hakoras HaToiv. Where did Yisroi's whole godless start from? The daughters came and they told him, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. He said, where is he? Why did they let him stay over there? His first reaction, he gave them over the head. Where's your HaKoros HaToiv? So here also he protested, Mitzad HaKoros HaToiv. Ad Kedei Kach, he went out and protested and he gave up his ministership. That's how Vayit HaKoros HaToiv went by him. So you see sometimes a person that develops a Mida and a Kedmamish raise him to tremendous godless. Bilam Zelovon, Chazal say. If you learn it literally, he should have been the biggest Makar Toif to Klal Yisrael. He had an Edom like Yaakov Avinu, instead of being called Chosen Yankiv, it says, Lovin Bikish Lakar Esakoyl. His whole bracha, he was made himself, he told Yankiv, that his house was blessed because of Yankiv. He has such a Kodesh, such a Tzaddik in his house, and the Lovin Bikish Lakar Esakoyl. So Bilam is the epitome of Kofli Toif. And Yisrael Lehepach, he became Chosin Moshe. He was proud of the fact that Moshe was his son-in-law. He treated him with respect, with kavod HaKoros HaToiv. And what happened with Yisrael? Number one, he was Megayer. Number two, he was Hoser Parsha B'Toira. Number three, he was Zoyche. His grandchildren were Kahanim. They said Alushkas HaGozis. That's the chilik between someone that's Makar Toiv and someone that's not Makar Toiv. Those are Rav Yankiv. And for one more short machshove, I'll finish. I'm not going to say the machshove, but I'll say an interesting maisa with it. L'chaira is a pella in the parasha. It says over here, the heimlo yaminu li. So Sfasemes asks the kasha, and other mefarshim asks the kasha. L'chaira when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go and be the Moshiach shel Yisrael, he says, and if they Yisrael say, Masha moi mo oimer aleihem, what should I say to them? Eya asher eya. That's the shame you should tell them. L'chaira's mashma, the Moshe Rabbeinu already accepted the shlichus. Right? So what's that over here all of a sudden? The hein lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. He says, shlachma b'yatishlach, send it in the hands of somebody else. I don't want to be the shlich. What happened over here in the middle? So Hashemes gives a teretz. He says that first day, and Moshe Rabbeinu was tightening against the B'nai Yisrael. He was always the big Melamed Zchus. What changed over here all of a sudden? says up the Svasemis, the Lechatchila to be Makabal, the Shlichas, to Lezos to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking. And he members held that Klal Yisrael was going to believe him. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to be with them in this Golus, but there's also going to be future Golus. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid there's going to be other people in future generations that are not going to be on the same Madrega, and they won't have Amun of Engle Aminu Li. How are you going to guarantee that they're going to go out? Right? Maybe you should find a leader that's going to be Nitzchi, is going to be able to lead them, and he'll be able to get them to the Madrega of Amun. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu refused. L'chatchila was willing to accept it. But the minute he heard there's going to be future Goliaths, find a leader that could be Mashpi on them L'Olam. This is what the Svasemis says. But I saw brought down a very nice mice. One year, the Chayz of Ublin, he made an announcement that whoever knows how to blow a shofar should sign themselves up on a list. He's going to teach them all the kavanos of Nitkiyas, and then he'll decide which one he wants to be the Baal Tekeya. So everybody signed up. One of the people that signed up was Rabbunim of Pshischa. Fine. So the Chayza teaches them all the kavanas of the tefillas, all those things. And then finally, when it came to deciding who he wants to be the Baal Tekeya, he picked Rabbunim. And what was his reasoning? It says, Tchiyah Shofar is a Chachma. Rabbunim was the biggest Chachma. So if him passes, so he calls over Rabbunim. Rabbunim said, I don't know how to blow. I don't know how to be a Baal Tekeya. She says, so why do you sign up? Why do you say you're a Baal Tekeya? He said, I wanted to learn the kavanas of the tkiyas. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you should be the Moshe and Shel Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'll be the Shliach. But what name should I give them? He says, Eya Shereya. And after he knew the name already finished, you know, I'm not right to be the Shliach. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. I did the same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu. Hagut and Shabbos.